Reading from Luke's Gospel 18, verses 1 to 8. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because of this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said to him, hear what is unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Roy. Well, this afternoon we're going to stay in Luke's Gospel, which was where we were this morning, and we're going to look at, or examine a little bit about this parable, another of the parables that Jesus told. I know that Matt has preached on a number of the parables, including this one during a series that he was doing here. But what I want us to do this afternoon is to concentrate particularly on just that first verse, just on verse 1, whilst not neglecting the story in which it is set, because obviously it gives us the context. And Jesus is telling his disciples, and therefore us, to persevere in prayer. It comes in the context of the Jesus' teaching on the coming of the kingdom of God. That's in the previous chapter of Jesus' teaching. The certainty of that kingdom's coming, but nevertheless the intentional delay of that final kingdom when Jesus returns to take his own to himself. But he's saying it will happen. And our chapter begins with, if you like, the explanation of the parable that Jesus is about to tell them. We read, didn't we? He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Or, as other translations put it, to pray always and not give up. So I want us to just think of a couple of things that come out of this first verse this afternoon. The first is the idea of the perseverance of prayer. The Lord Jesus himself knew the weakness of our flesh, that we are prone to lose heart, and that can be so even in our prayer life. We pray fervently at first anyway, but it seems that God constantly delays. He's not answering our prayers in the way and in the time frame that we would expect. Now, this parable of the persistent widow raises some questions about prayer. You see, we don't really feel, do we, that we should keep pestering God. It doesn't rest comfortably with us, the thought that we should keep going, keep asking the same thing and keep, as it were, pestering God. Doesn't persistent prayer for something reflect our intention to change God's mind? Should we not just pray the once? That's got to be all that's necessary. Just come and ask and then leave it at that. And it's hard, isn't it, to argue with such a hypothesis because we have such a great God. But Isaiah 59 and verse 1 is clear. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. Might not the implication of this parable told by Jesus himself, of course, be that if we ask enough times, pray about it enough, then eventually we'll get the answer that we want? That, like the judge in the story here, is as if we're giving something just to shut us up. He's doing it, he's getting fed up with this woman, just keep on and on and on at him. Eventually he says, well, I'll just give up, I'll give her what she wants. It's like a child pestering a parent for something until they wear the parent down so much that they just give in. The story is told of a magazine that was sending out reminders to former and present customers. One farmer was the unhappy casualty of a computer glitch, and as a result, he received 9,734 emails about the magazine's renewal. Rather reluctantly, he sent a check to the magazine with the message, "I give up. I renew my subscription." Unlike the judge who becomes weary of this widow's persistence, God never gets weary of our prayers. He never answers reluctantly. It was C.S. Lewis who once wrote that prayer is not conquering God's reluctance, but taking hold of God's willingness. Prayer is not conquering God's reluctance, but taking hold of God's willingness. You know, when it comes to prayer, I know I can give up too quickly. And perhaps you can relate to that. Often we assume the reason for divine inactivity is that it's not the Lord's will, or that it's an untimely or an unwise request that we are making. But what do we read here? He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Why did Jesus give us this teaching? Well, the answer is clear, surely. We're not to lose heart or give up when it comes to prayer, because Jesus knew that it would be the experience of his disciples. Remember, he says, don't worry, do not be anxious. Why? Because we are prone to be anxious and to worry. And so Jesus is encouraging us, knowing that we would be prone to do that. He knew that it would be the experience of his disciples. And Jesus knew that this would be a real possibility for us, that they and we would not continue in prayer, that we would lose heart, that we would so easily give up. We are prone to lose heart and to give up on prayer, and perhaps that's how you're feeling this afternoon. Maybe it is hard work at the moment, praying. And you feel as though there seems to be such that distance between you and the Lord, and that you're not getting through. If you feel that way, I guess you're not alone. Dare I say, you might even be in the majority. So I guess that's an encouragement, isn't it, for us this afternoon, that when we feel like that, that we're not alone, and that Jesus, he understands our weakness. I don't know about you, but I do find it hard at times to pray. We look, don't we, on those who seem to find it so easy, who seem to spend hours in prayer. those who get up in one of our meetings and pray so fluently, and we think we could never, ever do that. Such ease, it seems. And it just makes us feel worse. It makes us feel more inadequate. But then Jesus tells us to continue to pray. Everything seems to militate against it, doesn't it? Time, other duties, interruptions, health concerns. When I mean that, sometimes where we're feeling really low, when we're feeling unwell, it can be so hard, can't it, to find ourselves in prayer. And when the New Testament speaks of losing heart, it's pretty much always in the context of adversity. The disciples are going to face persecution. They're going to face opposition. Where does prayer come in then? We so easily become discouraged, and it's often prayer that goes by the wayside when that happens. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, Paul commends to the church a man named Epaphras because he was always, I quote, struggling or wrestling on your behalf in his prayers. Struggling on your behalf in his prayers. And that's what he's doing. It's for the believers back home in Colossae, and here is Epaphras who's wrestling in prayer for them. And Paul knows that prayer is hard work. It requires real effort. And sometimes when we're praying, we can feel we're in a battle. William Cooper, wrote in one of his hymns that Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. He doesn't want us to pray, because even if we aren't aware of it, the devil knows the power of prayer. The perseverance of prayer. Let's be those who persevere in prayer. Because the second thing I want us to think about is the purpose of prayer. See, God not only ordains what will happen, but he also ordains the prayers of his people as the very path to getting there. Amazingly, God intimately knits together his sovereignty and our prayer. Yes, God is still sovereign, but he works through means by which that sovereignty will operate in the world he has made. Therefore, our great hope in prayer is not to change God, what God has planned, not to change God's mind, but to bring about what God has planned. Prayer comes together with his sovereignty. Prayer is dependence on God. And when Jesus was here on earth, he modeled for us the kind of life that we are to live in dependence on the Father. Jesus would often pray, read through the Gospels and pick those occasions out. Indeed, we read that he goes off on his own to pray. And the disciples saw this example. They knew this example. I wonder how often they would have gone to sleep at night when they were traveling with Jesus, and Jesus would have been there with them. And yet when they woke in the morning, he was not there. Why? Because he had gone to pray, sometimes throughout the night. And perhaps the most well-known occasion of Jesus praying to his Heavenly Father is what we find in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night that he is betrayed. We read it earlier, didn't we, in Matthew 26, where he asks the disciples to watch and to pray while he goes on further and prays to his Father. You see, prayer is a necessity for every believer because it acknowledges our total dependence on God. Not to pray is a statement of self-reliance, that we're going to handle things in our own strength and according to our own power. And so Hebrews 4 verse 16 instructs us, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. That is a reference to coming in prayer. Let us draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a privilege we have as God's children to be able to come and to pray. We can read this parable here in Luke 18 and suggest that it implies that God reluctantly answers our prayers and answers our needs. But God isn't like this reluctant judge. He cares for us and is more than ready to grant our requests. And the Christian is taught to persist in prayer because of the character of God, not our own character, not our own ability, but because of the character of God, which is the complete opposite of that of the judge in our story. Because this is an interesting parable, isn't it? Because it shows the contrast between God and the judge. Whereas this morning, we were looking at the parable of the prodigal son, because it showed us what God is like. And Jesus is teaching in this passage that God is more willing to hear my prayer than I am to pray it. The context of believing prayer is the promises of God. We sometimes sing, don't we, words of power strong to save that will never pass away. I will stand on every promise of your word. For your covenant is sure, and on this I am secure. I can stand on every promise of your word. And the word of God should frame our praying. Listen to how one writer puts it. When we remember that God seeks and saves the lost, we are encouraged to pray for our lost friend. When we remember that God desires that his name be hallowed and his will be done, we are compelled to pray that injustice and the immoral assault on the sanctity of human life would be thwarted. When we remember that God comforts and draws near to the brokenhearted, we can pray for those who are afflicted even when they are so greatly suffering. He goes on to say, it doesn't stop here. We read that God is good, unchanging, and always does what is right. And those words from the scripture, those thoughts from scripture, refresh our minds and they refresh our praying, because we're not fighting against God. We're not coming something that God doesn't want to give us. We're coming remembering his character and framing our prayer in his word. How it reminds us to trust in who God is and who we learn that he is in scripture. Now, Jesus ends this parable in Luke 18 with reference to the previous chapter. God does say, wait. He does at times delay the answer. But verses 7 and 8 remind us that he will come. What does it say? Will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Yes, his elect, his people are crying to him day and night. He will. He's faithful. He will answer that prayer. When Jesus asks at the end of verse 8, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? What does he mean? He means, will the Son of Man find that his disciples have kept praying? Or will he find that they have lost heart and given up? And all this raises the question of when or if we should stop praying for something. Because if we stop praying for something, is that tantamount to giving up? Well, I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 8 and 9, with what he describes as his thorn in the flesh. It's thought that maybe we not know for sure, but we think it may be some physical ailment. But whatever it is described. It's so difficult for him. He calls it his thorn in the flesh. What does he say? Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. In fact, the number three, when it says here, I pleaded or I prayed three times, actually the number three represents a repeated and earnest appeal and not so much the actual counting. So it could have been three times, it could have been a lot more than that, it probably was. And Paul just keeps asking, he pleads with the Lord, such is his suffering. And the Holy Spirit reveals to Paul to stop asking. How? But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. There is the answer. Sometimes God gives us an inner assurance that the request that we come with will be granted according to his will. And therefore we are able to stop praying for it. Sometimes the Lord will remove that burden from our hearts to pray for something particular. Do you know those times when we've had that real burden to pray for something? And the Lord just ministers to us and removes that burden from our hearts, and we move on to other requests. Well, we can pray anywhere at any time. And so to pray always, as it says in this verse, does not mean continuously. It means that we should pray about everything. It should become our habit, and it should be regularly. Jesus is coming soon. Let us be praying. Let us always be praying. Let us not lose heart. Let us not give up. Let's look to our Lord. Let's look to his word and appeal to his character, to pray according to his promises, and to see that peace that passes all understanding, guarding our hearts in Christ Jesus as we pray, even when it's difficult, when the last thing we feel we want to do and feel able to do is pray. Just keep going. Don't give up. Because we are taught here the perseverance of prayer. And it's not just for the sake of it, because there is a purpose of prayer, isn't there? As we come to God to claim his promises, as to appeal to his sovereignty and to his will. He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. May we not lose heart. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you again this afternoon, we're conscious of our own weaknesses, and yet we just are also assured of your grace. Help us as we come to prayer to come, may our prayers be framed, as it were, in Scripture. May we appeal and come according to your character, knowing who you are, the one that we come to. And therefore, let us come with confidence before the throne of grace. Lord, we would never want to take prayer for granted, but Lord, we thank you that you have called us to come, that Jesus told us to pray our Father in heaven. And as we come to you, help us to do that each day, through the day, and to know that relationship with you and that joy of communion with you and not giving up. Help us, encourage us, build us up, we pray in this, in Jesus' name. Amen.